It is Tuesday, September 22nd, 2015, and this is not Radio Free Burrito, episode 43, I think? 43A. We're going to go with 43A. Maybe that's wrong, but I've made a choice and I'm committing to it. I take you now live to the guy who says the thing.
Hipsters! Flipsters! And finger-popping daddies, knock me your loads.
So, hello, everyone. I hope that you are doing swell right now. It is a lovely Tuesday. I am home. I was on vacation, which I so desperately needed, and then I went to Rose City Comic Con, which was delightful. It was very tiring on account of the Friday night into Saturday morning. My amazing, lovely, delightful wife had this terrific idea very late at night that it would be a really good idea for us to have a voodoo donut at around 10 o'clock, which seemed like a really great idea because we had had dinner at the Deschutes Public House and we had enjoyed the new Jubal Ale and the 27th anniversary of their Black Butte Porter. These are both high gravity beers similar to Woot Stout. And it turns out that there is, much like there is in Woot Stout, a bad idea bear in the bottom of that glass. And this particular bad idea was donuts, you guys! And holy crap, all night long, my brain was like, dude. And I'm like, what? My brain goes, oh, I forgot. Hold on, if we just lay here for like 35 minutes, I'm going to play some music in your head while I'm trying to figure out exactly what it is I was going to talk to you about. So here you go. Let's enjoy some of the greatest hits of Huey Lewis in the News while I try to remember. And I was like, you know, I'm going back to sleep. And my brain was like, all right. Come on, brain, stop. You're being a dick. And then everyone was like, I'm sorry. Come on, man, stop. I have a big day tomorrow. Okay, I'm gonna shut it off now. Okay, it's good. This is the power of a come on. So I had a rough night of not sleeping. That process repeated itself over and over and over again. And a couple of times when I actually did fall asleep, apparently I was like flopping around in my sleep a lot on account of not being able to like fully relax. And that was waking up Ian, who was in turn waking up me. So what we've learned from this is that donuts, generally a good idea, but not particularly a good idea when you need to go to sleep and also after you've had two high-gravity beers. But I had a nice time at this con, like I did last year. I had a very, like, surprisingly restorative time. It was a very different experience from my limited experience at PAX, where I think I mentioned this on the last podcast, like, I walked out on stage to do this thing at PAX and like I could feel the audience hate me the second I set foot on stage. And that was not awesome. That probably comes as a surprise. So you probably think like, wow, that sounds like that'd be really great. But as it turns out, no, that really just, it kind of sucked. But Rose City was a very different experience. And I really wish actually that I had a little more time to walk around and experience a bit more of the con than I did. But I met some really lovely people, and I was reminded of my favorite thing that happens when I go to conventions, and that is getting to meet people who share stories with me about how something I did mattered to them in a way that has had a lasting impact on their lives, and it makes me feel really good. And also, I hope you're sitting down as I tell you this, because this is a thing that is going to blow your freaking mind. Ready? A woman knit me an infamous clown sweater. An actual, proper, the neck is stretched out. The arms are a little too long. I mean, it is exactly, it's amazing. It's phenomenal and it's beautiful. And I am waiting for the right moment to unveil it in public because it's pretty goddamn special. Another fellow who makes a lot of wonderful knit creations knit me a blanket that is the crest of the Dick and Pickle, which if you watch Tabletop, you know, is like America's hottest roadside pub that doesn't actually exist. And that was pretty great. Anyway, and I'm home now, and I've only been home for a couple of days. I spent much of yesterday just sort of like going through administrative things that had backed up while I was gone, and trying to like readjust to life in my house as opposed to life at a hotel or on vacation. And I used to feel, before I got treatment for my depression, I would feel so drained and wiped out and just awful at the end of a con that it took me, like, in some cases up to a week to like recover and reload. And I'm so grateful that I don't feel that way having come home. Now I actually feel really good. And I've been doing some writing and been interacting with my animals in a lovely way. Anne and I are fostering a kitten, and she's borderline foster failure. We named her Elliot after T.S. Eliot, not because of the Book of Practical Cats, but because, as it turns out, in a weird coincidental way, all of our pets have names that are associated with authors, particularly authors from the British Isles. And that's, I guess, where T.S. Eliot was from. I wanted our cat to have... Oh, boy. Did you see what happened? Did you hear what happened just there? I said I wanted our cat, as like I've made the decision in my mind that she's our cat now. And I oh boy, she's sleeping behind me looking so goddamn cute. I made the decision that I wanted this cat to have a boy's name just because I thought that would be fun. And I wanted to name her Dave because my niece had a cat whose name was Dave. And then she changed Dave's name to something different, and I can't remember what it is. But he is a boy cat. But anyhow, I wanted the cat's name to be Dave because I thought that would be great. Or Clark. I feel like Clark is a great name for a cat. And Anne was like super not down with that. And she suggested Elliot, and I was like, oh, that works. So anyway, her name's Elliot. And we sometimes call her Ellie, which is kind of cool. And our son Ryan calls her Belliot because if you go near her belly, she bunny kicks you the way only a kitten can. But I've been spending a lot of quality time with her in my office, and it's been really kind of neat. So listen, only, just a one thing really to talk about, today. Well, I guess maybe two things. But even though this is not a Radio Free Burrito, I'm feeling the urge to play music. So I'm going to do that. I'm going to play a song. And then when I come back, I'm going to talk about these two things that I was going to talk about. So my name is Will, and you're you, and you're listening to Radio Free Burrito, and I'll be right back after some music.
So big. Yeah, come to me close, expose your soul, whatever. Baby, right on, right on, right on. You better come to me close, so close, so close. In the make what it takes to get you on the floor. Will you wake when we break through the walls of desire?
That is from an artist called We Artists. They are from Brest in Belarus. And that is from their self-titled album, We Artists, self-described as hard energy and punky rock and roll. Found them on Magnatune.com. And that album actually was just released, 11 days ago. So kind of cool to have something so new and from the other side of the planet on the show for me. I don't like the whole album, but there are a few cuts on the record. That was called Be My Girl, and then there's another song on the record called Sunshine that I like. Did I say Be My Girl? What I meant was New Wow. That song's called New Wow, and there's another track on the record called Sunshine that I really like. Kind of remind me of stuff that I enjoyed in the 90s. Hey, speaking of the 90s, my quarterly box for this quarter is shipping soon, and if you've been following along in the realm of me and curating for quarterly, I thought it would be cool to do four boxes quarterly, get it? And each box would reflect things that were important to me and influential in each of my four decades of life on planet Earth thus far. So the first box was the 80s, and that was fun. It was the 70s, and that was fun. The second box was the 80s, and that was fun. The third box, the one coming up, is the 90s. And the 90s are a complicated and strange decade for me. I changed a lot. I grew a lot. And I'm including some things in this box that represent my creative influences and also just some of the things that I really loved in the 90s. You know, and it's kind of crazy to think that a decade that gave us Nirvana also vomited Smash Mouth and Nickelback on the world. But there's a whole lot of really good stuff that came out of that, particularly in music, in my opinion, that I would like to share with folks. So that box will come out soon. If you're interested, there will be a link to the subscription page in the show notes. And if you are not interested, that's fine. No hard feelings. Okay, so let's talk about this thing that I wanted to talk about. The fall TV season. I was talking with my assistant Alex today about the fall TV schedule, and we were looking at it, and we were both kind of like in agreement that there's just not that much new on the schedule that we are particularly excited about. We're both waiting for our shows just to come back, right? And like I enjoyed the season premiere of The Big Bang Theory last night. I imagine it was hit and miss for people, like all things that actually say something are, but I enjoyed it. But I'm like kind of excited for some other shows to come back that I didn't realize I had been missing over summer. But there is a show that I have been looking forward to that's new for this year, and it's called Blind Spot. And the premise of this show is a woman shows up naked in Times Square, and she is completely covered in tattoos, just head to foot in full body tattoos. and the name of an FBI agent is between her shoulder blades. It is super on the nose that the name of this FBI agent is literally in her blind spot. Get it? Blind spot? It is, the premise is really interesting to me thus far. The idea is she goes, she's taken to this FBI agent and then is kind of put into protective custody and is working with this particular FBI agent to try and recover exactly who she is. Oh yeah, this is also important. She has no memories. Because she's been injected with this new sort of, hand wavy kind of, amnesia drug or something like that. And she can't remember anything about who she is. But she like can remember certain things kind of come back to her. So it's kind of cool. There's a little bit of Bourne Identity in it in that regard. And, then there's also a little bit of just kind of like the delightful mystery of like unpacking who this woman is. And, the woman, Jane Doe, is played by Jamie Alexander, who I think is a wonderful actor. And I was talking to Alexandra, my assistant, earlier today, and I was telling her that I met Jamie when we were both down at the Supernova convention in Australia a couple of years ago, and she was so nice and just such a joy to be around. And I didn't know like what else she was. I didn't know where she intended to go with her career after the Thor movies. And she's Sif in Thor, if you're wondering who I'm talking about. And Alex was telling me that she sees her as Sif on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. from time to time. And I don't watch Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. I love Agent Carter, but I don't watch Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Because there hasn't been a lot of time. And until I can get Anne to commit to sitting down and doing a first-time watch of The Wire for her and a rewatch of The Wire for me, I'm reluctant to add new programming to the shows. I realize talking about a new show that I've added is sort of, you know, sort of makes you at home who are listening go, what? That makes no sense. Well, you're right, because I am a riddle wrapped in an enigma, and on a good day, I am charming as fuck. I can make the bad boys good for a weekend, and I'm a nightmare dressed like a daydream. Anyway, this particular episode, the pilot episode of this show, is very piloty. There's a lot of hand-holding for the audience. There's even a scene where Jane Doe looks at the FBI agent, and I don't remember what the actor's name is. He is reminiscent of Chris Pratt, but not in that way that makes me, like really want to be gay because I love Chris Pratt so much. She says, am I going to remember who I am? And he's like, smolder. I don't know. And I'm like, oh, God. So there's some things like that. But look, it's network television. It's a pilot. And I hope this doesn't make a bad noise on the mic. Oh, sure. Whatever, microphone. I'm moving them. I got a new microphone. And I moved the stand a little bit because I thought it was off kilter. And it turns out that it wasn't. So go me. Don't you love it when instead of just editing these things out, I just kind of go on about them? I really think that that's a great way to build an audience and show everyone how professional you are. So it's an interesting show. Oh. And my friend Ashley Johnson is in it. She's sort of the Kirsten Vanjinis character from CSI. The whole show is just this like, shows a lot of hope. And I was talking with Richard Kadrey about it on Twitter last night. And Richard is an author, and I highly recommend his Sandman Slim series of books. They're freaking amazing, and I love them. And he was like, is it any good? I'm so afraid of being burned. And I thought, man, like, I know that feeling, you know, like, doesn't it suck that we don't want to get excited about things? Because we're like, well, yeah, but the last time I got excited about a thing like this, it sucked. And then I was super disappointed. And I think that's a bummer that we've reached this point in media where we've I chalk it up for my generation to living like in a post Phantom Menace world where we got so fucking excited for this thing. And then it just like never, you know, it never realized its promise. Right. Alex was like, no, I'm totally not interested in it at all because I've seen the billboards and the billboards just like she's like, I don't, just looks like a thing that I'm not even going to like. And the ad campaign apparently has been sort of like geared at a different demographic than the demographic that we are in. But anyway, I recommend it. If you watched it, I would love to hear your thoughts on it in the comments for this post. And I'm going to presume that if you are talking about this show, or if you are reading about this show, that, you know, there's some very, like, there's some mild spoilery things, but, we kind of figure them out right before they happen in the show. So please feel free to talk about, like, what we learn about Jane in this particular episode and kind of like, you know, the last 15 minutes of the show and things like that. And, just maybe mark in bold, you know, like, spoilers in this post or something like that. If you happen to comment on this, today, September 22nd or tomorrow, September 23rd, and just let me know kind of what you think. Gosh, you know, there was another thing that I was going to talk about and now I can't remember what it is. So, rather than try to figure out what that was and make myself sad, I'm going to sign off. I'm just going to sign off abruptly now. Radio Free Burrito is released under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial Share-Alike license. For more information, visit RadioFreeBurrito.com or CreativeCommons.org. For show notes and pretty pictures and links to fun things that you're going to like, goddammit. You can also find them at RadioFreeBurrito.com. As I've said before, there is no content after the podcast ends.